Maybe that's what it is. See, I've got that lump here again. It's still.
Good evening, everyone. Boy, got a good crowd. Sounds like a party going on. We had a good one. But thank everyone for being here. We appreciate our citizens being here to talk about our agenda when they want to and what have you. So as we call our meeting to order, we'll just let you know that. If you have comments you want to make about any of our agenda items, you can certainly do that. Just raise your hand, and so we'll recognize you at appropriate time. And if you would, please, since we have so many and we may have a lot of comments, try to hold your comments to 5 minutes if you can. Now, we recognize on presentations many times it takes longer than that, but if you can, that would help make sure everybody has a chance to speak. And as we begin, pardon me, we'll have council prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Most gracious and sovereign God, we humbly come to your presence this evening with praise and gratitude in our hearts for who you are and for the many blessings you have bestowed on our community. You have greatly blessed us. We give thanks for the opportunity you've given us to serve on City Council. We give thanks for our staff that does such a fine job in support of council and also in working with our citizens. We thank you for our citizens who are with us this evening and all of our citizens who give willingly of their time and talents to serve our city in so many important ways, helping to make it the best it can be. Dear Lord, this evening we ask that you would be with us as we discuss the issues before us and give us the guidance and wisdom that we need to make the decisions that are in the best interest of our citizens and that will enhance our community. For it's in your holy name we pray, and we give you the honor and the glory. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item of business we have this evening is a consideration of the minutes from the regular meeting of November 12, 2012. Are there any discussion, comments on the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have a comment on page 38 as it relates to the employee incentive update. The third paragraph in that sentence implies that the council approved the incentive that has been that will be given. We only approve the appropriation. I had expected that we would have a discussion on whether or not it would be a graduated incentive or a fixed incentive, but the council did not make a decision on what is being offered. So we need to reword that sentence to remove the fact that council approved what's being given. We approve the appropriation, but not the method.
Okay.
I'm sorry, was that page 38?
Page 38. It's the paragraph that begins with Mr. Pierce stated staff had looked.
Okay. Any other comments on the minutes? Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I move that we approve the minutes as revised.
We have a second as well. Show of hands, please, all in favor for approval. Passes unanimously. Okay. Before we get to the presentation number one, we want to slip in a real quick presentation to Representative Don Wells. We've had a reception back in the room here for Don. As most of you, I hope all of you know, Don was on our city council for a number of years, and he was recently elected to the House, South Carolina House, representative. So we thank him for that. And Don, wherever you are.
He's right in the back, Mayor.
Would you meet me down here, please?
Yes, sir.
I've got Kleenex in my pocket, so I may pull it out. Don, we're going to miss you so much. You've really been a wonderful council person, and you've always listened so well, and you've thought things out and before you voted, and really you've been a mentor to many of us, the way you react and the way you handled yourself. And we're really going to miss you, no doubt about it. And we wish you well up at the state level. And I think you're going to need it.
Yes, sir.
But it won't be because of you,
yes,
I'm sure. Let me read this, Don. Presented to Don L. Wells for your leadership and dedicated service to the city of Aiken and its citizens as a council member, November 28, 2005 to November 12, 2012. Presented this 26th day of November, 2012. And Don, again, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We enjoyed working with you all these years. And is there anything we can help you with?
Yes, sir.
Straightening out anything up there?
Yes, sir.
We'll try.
I'll certainly call on you. Thank you. Yes, sir. I sure did.
Oh, by the way, there's your... You might want to put that out. That might be impressive if he goes up there and puts this on his head.
May make them listen to me, what I have to say. Place that up here. Seriously, Mr. Mayor, council members, citizens, it's been a great honor and a privilege to have served as your city councilman at large for the past 7 years. I appreciate all the council members. I realize that there's been times that we do not necessarily agree on the method in which things should be done, but I can assure you, having worked with all of these men and women, that in their heart, they have Aiken's best interest. I appreciate them for having listened to me at times. I appreciate them for having humored me at other times. And I also appreciate them putting up with me sometimes. But I can promise you that as I represent District 81 in Columbia, that I go there still with the city of Aiken and District 81 in my heart to do what's best for our community and what's best for our citizens. I'd also like to say thank you to our dedicated staff, our city manager, our department heads, our employees. The city of Aiken has the finest employees that you'll find anywhere. Very dedicated, hardworking, committed to this community, and committed to you as citizens. So thank you to all of you. Thank you for allowing me to serve. I've already found out that in this position, there are certain perks that you get, one of which was Glenn Davis finally accepted my friend request on Facebook. Thank you.
I just want to say one other thing. Most of you know Don's family, wonderful family, Monica and the four boys. And we know that it takes the whole team for any one of us to do the best we can be. And so please thank Monica for her service as well.
I sure will.
Because I know she's been behind you every second.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I have to make a comment, Don, because you've been my competitor to my left here, and certainly over the 7 years we have shared much sitting here without the public knowledge of sitting there with little notes that we have discreetly passed. But... Don, there's a song, I don't know whether you've heard this song, that says, "Let the life I live speak for me." Have you heard that song?
Yes.
The life you live is speaking for you. You are a good Christian man. You are a fair man. You sat there for 7 years. One would not know that you were Republican and that I was a Democrat. We could talk about anything and everything, and it was left with us with discussion. And I appreciate you as a confidant, as a good man, of God, as a man of God, but also a good family man. And if you serve as well as you did with this community, you'll do well in Columbia.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
I too would wish you well, Don. I know when we were talking about the differences, it was primarily between you and I, but you handle it, we handle them with grace, always, as you say, with the city's best interest in heart. You're a good man. You're a good community man. I know you'll do the job well in Columbia. Look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you, Kevin.
I wish you good luck up there. I know you're going to do a fine job, as you have done on a city council, and I just have the greatest faith that you're going to make a mark up there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. And Don, I'd just like to thank you for everything I've learned from you and about you this past year. One thing I appreciate most about you is your quiet spirit, and I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss you.
Yep, Don, thanks again for all your service to the community, and looking forward to still working with you.
Thank you.
And Don, I want to say, as your city manager, your assistant city manager, your staff attorney, your city solicitor, I've enjoyed working with you your entire time on council before you were even on council. And staff and I got together, and we really wanted you to take something to Columbia with you that would keep your focus on Aiken. And as you know, from time to time, Tim Coakley and his crew has to remove some limbs from the South Boundary Oaks.
Yes.
So another staff member has made a pen for you out of the South Boundary Oak, and we figure if you take a little bit of Aiken with you every time you're in the big granite box, you won't forget about us. So we have that for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. The next item, which is the first, actually, the Aiken Department of Public Safety Medal of Valor recipients. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. We have three very distinguished members of public safety with us here tonight, and their boss is here as well. And I think Chief is making his way up with our three officers at this time. And as they come up to the microphone, I want to share with everyone present that I had an opportunity as city solicitor to work with all of these gentlemen in the courtroom and found their character to be beyond question. And Chief Barranco is going to share with us tonight the recognition that they've received from the state of South Carolina. Chief.
Thank you, sir. It is my honor to stand before you today to these gentlemen, Steve Miano, Captain Sawyer, Sergeant Craig Burgess, on some incident that occurred this past May on Cherry Hills Drive, an incident that was very tragic. Put that concern aside to step up and enter the house to attempt the rescue of the victim inside. And for that, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Association awarded them the Medal of Valor. So we just wanted to recognize them tonight.
And Chief, my understanding is these are the only three medals that were awarded in the entire state.
That's correct. That's correct.
Thank you, Chief. From the city council standpoint, we have a certificate that we'd like to give to you gentlemen. And I'll read one of them fully. They're all the same except the name. So bear with me, please. A resolution, Captain Martin E. Sawyer, Jr. Whereas Captain Martin E. Sawyer, Jr. has served the citizens of Aiken since 1989 as a public safety officer, Whereas on the morning of May 17, 2012, he responded to a domestic disturbance call at the residence on Cherry Hill Drive. Whereas Captain Sawyer selflessly volunteered to enter the residence to check on the safety of the individual who called 911. And whereas after entering the house, he was fired on by an assailant. And whereas quick actions by Captain Sawyer were able to prevent other law enforcement officers from being injured in the line of duty. Whereas in recognition of this act of heroism above and beyond the call of duty, Captain Sawyer was one of three officers in the state of South Carolina awarded the 2012 South Carolina Law Enforcement Officers Association Medal of Valor. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council for the City of Aiken hereby commends and honors Captain Martin E. Sawyer, Jr., for being recognized for displaying his courage and heroism, being a 2012 Medal of Valor recipient from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Association. And this is signed by council. I'll give these to you in a minute. The second gentleman is Sergeant Craig Burgess. Whereas Sergeant Craig Burgess has served the City of Aiken since 1993 as a public safety officer. I'm going to read these because it's too important not to read them all. Whereas on the morning of May 17, 2012, he responded to a domestic disturbance call at the residence of Cherry Hill Drive. Whereas Sergeant Burgess selflessly volunteered to enter the residence to check on the safety of the individual who called 911. Whereas after entering the house, he was fired on by an assailant. And whereas quick action by Sergeant Burgess, actions by Sergeant Burgess were able to prevent other law enforcement officers from being injured in the line of duty. Whereas in recognition of this act of heroism, above and beyond the call of duty, Sergeant Burgess was one of three officers in the state of South Carolina awarded the 2012 South Carolina Law Enforcement Officers Association Medal of Valor. Now therefore be it resolved that the City Council for the City of Aiken hereby commends and honors Sergeant Craig Burgess for being recognized for displaying this courage and heroism, being a 2012 Medal of Valor recipient from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Association. Resolution, Master PSO Philip S. Miano, the third. Whereas Master PSO Philip Miano, the third, has served the citizens of Aiken since 2004 as a public safety officer. And whereas on the morning of May 17, 2012, he responded to a domestic disturbance call at the residence on Cherry Hills Drive. Whereas Master PSO Morano selflessly volunteered to enter the residence to check on the safety of the individual who called 911. And whereas after entering the house, he was fired on by an assailant. And whereas quick action by Master PSO Morano were able to prevent other law enforcement officers from being injured in the line of duty. And whereas recognition of this act of heroism above and beyond the call of duty, Master PSO Miano, I'm very sorry about my pronunciation, was one of three officers in the state of South Carolina awarded 2012 South Carolina Law Enforcement Officers Association Medal of Valor. Now therefore be it resolved that the City of Aiken hereby commends and honors Master PSO Philip Miano the third for being recognized for displaying the courage and the heroism, being a 2012 Medal of Valor recipient from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Association.
Gentlemen, we're all so proud of you so much. Thank you for what you do for the city every day, every time you open the door, go out in the morning, at night, whenever it is. Thank you. Congratulations. Brian Phillip. I'm sorry. Thanks again. Thank you, guys, very much.
Chief, I believe you also wanted to update us about your Safe Communities.
Yes, sir. Before we move on, all of those guys had asked me to mention as well that there were other officers on scene that day, other agencies that were vital in the assistance of that, but those guys were the first three through the door and defended and served the city very well. So. Yes, so moving right into Safe Communities. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you again this evening. Since our last presentation, a lot of work has been ongoing and in progress. We've, as you well know, had our community meetings where over 200 citizens came and supported the information meetings, and they were received very well by the public. The very next week, we spoke to Professor David Kennedy from the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, who also wrote the book Don't Shoot, that you may be familiar with, to talk about what has happened here in Aiken, and he leaned some guidance to us, and he believes we're headed in the right direction. He's also provided us some information about the process, as well as some lessons learned. Since that time, we have recently assigned and designated our Violence Crime Task Force Coordinator, Lieutenant David Savage, who is here in the room tonight with us. And part of the process has also begun to identify the offenders that we've talked about through criminal histories and crime data selected from our computers. Our task force consists of the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Solicitor's Office, the Aiken County, the State Probation, Pardon, and Parole, the Aiken County Sheriff's Office, and of course members from Aiken Department of Public Safety. Those members, along with some of our community members, will, on December 17th, head back to High Point to view one of their call-ins and get some more training from High Point, North Carolina. So we're really excited about that process. As I've mentioned, major steps have been made with the community as well. We've had several meetings with community leaders, and really out of the Aiken Council of Neighborhoods, has grown what we potentially call Aiken Citizens Against Violence, or ACAV. And there's a lot of energy and passion through the Council of Neighborhoods. And tonight we have with us Shelby Saunders, who's going to come speak a little bit about that for just a minute. Mr. Saunders? Mr. Saunders and his wife, who's here with him tonight, have been an active member of the Aiken Council on Neighborhoods for a very long time. So, turn over to Mr. Saunders.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor. Yeah. It's an honor to be here. I was as excited as Chief was when the presentation was given at Odell Weeks. I believe with talking with the community, people are very, very excited about it. There's a new movement going on. We want to see a difference. We know that, Chief, and his officers, they can't be everywhere. They need some other eyes. I thought about this the other day. When I was growing up, it was a big deal for those in the community to be the leaders and for them to be the ones on the forefront, not having our officers have to do the work. Now, with this program, I think it's an excellent opportunity to see a difference. I think if we can go ahead and get some of these offenders that are out there doing the same things over and over, we would have an opportunity to see Aiken change a life. And we know it's going to be difficult. We know there's going to be some hard times, but the community is ready and willing. And we hope that council will definitely support and be there with us every step of the way, because you have our support. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Shelby, you've got our support. You know that, Chief knows that, Public Safety knows that, everybody. But you're right, it's the eyes out there that of everyone looking and seeing things and reporting things that they see that might not look right.
Sure, and we have a beautiful city, and it's no need of waiting before something else happens. We need to go ahead and be proactive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Mayor, I'd like to say, too, that the Saunders participated in the garage sale that we had downstairs in the conference center in order to raise funds to file for 501c3 nonprofit status. And that was a successful event. They raised the entire amount of money needed to make that filing, so they're going to proceed with that. We anticipate, after the visit to High Point, then setting up Aiken's call-in for the last day of January. That would be Thursday, January 31st. So we'll have more information on that for council as that's organized, but that's our target date to begin the program in Aiken.
Very good. Charles, before you sit down, you have a number, I think you have a number of volunteers already from
our
citizens.
Yes, sir.
To work, as was mentioned. But, how many do you have, roughly?
Well, we've met several times with anywhere between six or eight people, and that is just with this core group of the Aiken Citizens Against Violence. So they understand the process. We want them to be a part of that process. So it's really trying to be informative, making sure, you know, asking a lot of questions, and so we've made a lot of steps in that part, and we do expect it to grow.
And in Absolutely. Addition to the core group, you had several dozen community members who volunteered their time to assist in the other ways that will be needed to make the program successful.
Yes, because there's a component for everybody that's involved in this, whether it's helping with the children or some of the offenders or helping an education piece or whatever. They're literally, I don't have it, it's a large number that have already volunteered to help with those services.
All right, very, very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, the first item under old business, appointments and discussions of appointees to the city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have eight appointments for council to consider tonight. The first is Brendan Doherty to be appointed to the Board of Zoning Appeals. That would be a three-year term under the state statute to replace Jane Page Thompson. If he's appointed, that term would expire December 1st of 2015. Councilmember DeWar also recommended Bob Besley be appointed to the Planning Commission to replace Brendan Doherty. That's a two-year term, so it would expire December 1 of 2014. Councilmember Diggs recommended John Owens for reappointment to the General Aviation Commission. That term would expire September 1, 2014. And Marilyn Brown be reappointed to the Environmental and Energy Committee. That term would run through December 31st, 2014. She also recommended Mary Barnett for reappointment to the Parks Commission. That term would expire December 1st, 2014. Councilmember Price recommended three appointments: Frank Wright to the Environmental and Energy Committee, and Valise Cummings reappointed to the Design Review Board. Both Mr. Wright and Ms. Cummings' terms would expire December 31st of 2014, and she also recommended Brian Parks be reappointed to the Parks Commission, and Parks' term would expire December 1st of 2014. So for consideration by council tonight are these eight appointments.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Now for nominations, if anyone has nominations for the next meeting, it would be on the agenda for the next meeting.
I've got a...
Sir?
Jane Page Thompson for the Planning Commission.
Okay. All right.
I have two, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Reappointment of Don Broderick for the Design Review Board. And... Pat Paternetti for the Board of Zoning Appeals, reappointment.
Okay, sir.
And I have one, Philip Mary, to the Design Review Board.
Okay. Any others? If not, okay, they will be on our agenda for the next meeting.
We'll put it off for December 10th, Mayor.
Yeah, okay. Very good, thank you. Item 2, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance accepting the FY 2011-12 audit. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You have the presentation by Elliott Davis representatives at our first meeting. Lori Smith went through detail. Mr. DeWar did submit his questions. We provided him with those responses. And I did want to say there was a question about the capital sales tax projects, and that would be the second penny, third penny. So that's our 2016-2017 budget coded items. Those are audited in the annual audit. As far as the third round of capital project sales tax, that will be in the audit that you'll receive next fall of 2013. We are going to be revising the timeline that was provided to council in September. We'll have something in the agenda on December 10 and definitely have this as a topic of discussion at your Horizons retreat, which we have tentatively scheduled for February 1st and 2nd of 2013. So for consideration by council tonight is the approval on second reading of public hearing on the ordinance to accept the audited statements that we received from Elliott Davis.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
Move.
I second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 3 is the second reading and public hearing of the ordinance to extend the concept plan deadline for Family Dollar store at Buford Street. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is for the Family Dollar store out on East Richland Avenue. At your place tonight, we went ahead and provided you with the information council had back in May of 2012 when you approved the concept plan for this development. The ordinance that you have makes reference to Exhibit A, and that would actually be the last page that shows the property for this proposed development. Originally, the concept plan expired December 22nd, and I've received contact from Judd McAdams of Red Partners in Charlotte, North Carolina. He said that if we could extend that to March 22nd, 2013, they feel they can comply with that date with no problem, but the December date was definitely a problem. And that was unanimously approved by council on first reading. This is second reading in a public hearing to allow that ordinance to be amended to show that the deadline date would be March 22nd, 2013 instead of December 22nd, 2012.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the city business license code. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. This ordinance and ordinance draft was provided to us by the Municipal Association of South Carolina, and that was in response to state law that was amended that required our business license ordinance to also be amended as well. And this relates to fees that are business license fees that are charged to insurance companies writing premiums within the city limits. That proposed language has been reviewed by our city attorney and by our finance department director. So in order for us to remain in compliance with state code, we have this ordinance for council's review, and this is second reading and public hearing of that ordinance to so amend the business code. This was unanimously approved at the first reading we had on November 12.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
Mr. Mayor, that we approve this request.
I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5 is a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to approve borrowing funds for water and sewer projects. Arson Circle, Ray Lane, Barnwell Avenue, Horry Street, Mohawk Drive, Linden Street, and Gator Lane. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The water system projects are on Carson Circle, Mohawk Drive, Gator Lane. They total $153,048. The sewer system work is on Ray Lane, Barnwell Avenue, Ory Street, and Linden Street. We have over $8 million in the third round of capital project sales tax monies dedicated towards infrastructure repair of water and sewer lines. We don't have the money collected. These systems need to be replaced now. You have a memo from Larry Morris that was available to council at first reading, and this is a second reading and a public hearing to have that approved so we can go ahead and proceed with the projects. We do have bids in hand.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion
and
a second? Do we have a motion and a second first? That's okay for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. All right. Excuse me, Gail. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. Who seconded the motion? I didn't.
Becky.
And okay. Unless he was second or vice versa.
I think it was vice versa. I've got it. Thank you.
Go ahead.
The Barnwell Avenue site and the Gator Lane site, of course, are in Schofield and Aiken Middle School districts, or right in close proximity of the school. What type of impact has it had for their daily functioning? Has it had any impact on...
Mr. Morris is here, Ms. Diggs, and he can address your concern, and that's a valid concern.
The current impact on school operations is very minimal. The problem there at Gator Lane is a force main that has broken several times, which leads up into the Carlson Park area. So it's broken in a woods, and any sewer that's been spilled has spilled into a detention pond where we've been very capable of cleaning it up at no risk to the children. That pond is fenced. The problem there at Barnwell Avenue is a collapsed sewer under the railroad. It's not actually on the school campus. And so what we have been doing is pumping that sewer down on a regular basis to make sure that we did not have a problem either with the school or the citizens in the area.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Any other discussion on that? We have a motion and a second. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Pass this unanimously. Item 6, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to schedule a special city council election. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. According to state law and our city code, since we received the resignation of Don Wells from his council seat so that he could begin his work as a member of the South Carolina House of Representatives, we need to schedule a special election. Of course, the special election will be under the existing 421 plan, and it would be held in March. As far as the filings, the closings for nomination by petition, verification of petitions, that whole schedule is with you here. Jim Holly helped us with the drafting of the ordinance and the modifications. The version you have tonight is the modified ordinance that we described at our last meeting on November 12. Council unanimously approved the ordinance on first reading at November 12. So this is second reading and public hearing to establish the special election schedule to fill the vacant seat.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I move approval and second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to schedule a special city council election.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Only question I have is to be sure that the candidates' ability to check their residences by the appropriate person, is that the voter registration office that does that, or who says they're in the right district, assuming they want to run in District 6, or they may be outside?
This is at large.
This is an at-large seat, but if somebody was interested in this seat and then wanted to make sure they were in District 6 for the election that would be held in November, we would send them to the voter registration office. We provided the maps to them. We will have maps for council very shortly. We're processing that through our GPS system, and we shared with the director of the Elections Commission the maps.
But the director of the Elections Commission is the one that officially does it. If someone inquires, am I in District 6, ones that do it.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
Okay, because this person would serve until, I guess, November, the end of November of next year, and then the election would be in September, and we'd start the whole process about April or May.
Well, the election would actually be in November.
Right.
The election would be in November, but it's a partisan election, so you would have the primaries, is probably what you're thinking about, Mr. Edmonds.
Yeah. I've had a couple of people ask about that. I gave them a map and they said, yeah, I'm in it, but I said, no, you got to check with somebody.
It's good to verify with the Election Commission because they're the ones that set it up as far as the voting precincts and where
folks are. Very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion items? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Under new business, first item is a first reading of an ordinance to annex 5.96 acres on Whiskey Road. It's at Stratford Drive, and to approve a proposed concept plan for the construction of two hotels on that tract. Mr. Pierce, please.
Yes, Mayor, and the title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property consisting of 5.96 acres of land, more or less owned by Farrell L. Holly Jr. and others, and to zone the same plan commercial PC and approve the proposed concept plan. Mr. Ashok Patel, who's the CEO of Naaman Hotels, is back with us tonight with a revised plan, and Ms. Rideout has it up on the screen for everyone to see, and you have a copy in the agenda packet as well. The major modifications are, you will see there's no through road to Stratford Drive. The entrance will be in off of Whiskey Road. You'll see the addition too. So there's Stratford Drive there. There's no access point there. So that's the approved concept plan. There could not be any access on Stratford Drive unless council approved a modification to the concept plan, and that would take a public hearing just like we're having tonight. You'll see that there is an access road to the western portion of the property. Again, the access is off of Whiskey Road. There's an addition of a frontage road along Whiskey Road. And you'll see that to the right of the entrance, there's also access to the remainder of the tract in the event there's future development. What's before you tonight is the 5.96 acre tract that you see outlined in green on the screen. And then this is the concept plan as revised by the developer, Mr. Patel, working with Tilden Hildebrand, who's also again with us here tonight. So I just wanted to point out the major modifications that were made. That was in response to the concerns that were shared at the public hearing that council just had. And Tilden, I don't know if Mr. Patel or you wanted to address council with any other points that you would like council to have at this time. So this is the first reading of the ordinance. We would have a second reading and public hearing on December 10 if council approves this on first reading this evening, Mayor.
Thank you, Richard. I am Tilden Hildebrand with Ashton Hildebrand here tonight representing the owners, the Holly family, and the developers, the Patel family. I think you did a very good job of summarizing the changes that have been made to the concept plan. I would mention that you can see some lines, fairly faint lines. Those indicate truck and emergency vehicle access routes through the property. We've widened these lanes just a little bit to accommodate larger trucks and fire trucks. Also, we have routed emergency vehicles to the right here. We've assured that access is attainable to the right.
And Tilden, I don't mean to interrupt your presentation, but Chief Branko, my understanding is we did have Captain Brazier review these plans as well as far as our emergency apparatus, fire suppression apparatus, and they can use that parking lot as drawn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to get that.
Thank you. Hotel B has actually been backed up just a little bit to provide room for the for the frontage road here and some green space in between parking and that frontage road. So the property's gotten just a little bit larger than the last presentation. No access to Stratford Drive, shared detention area in the back. One thing that's not shown on this plan that will be provided, as mentioned in the staff review and the recommendations, will be a sidewalk along the frontage here under the Aiken Electric Co-op easement, which the co-op has said that is allowable. I think that pretty well summarizes what we've revised. There was some concern about stormwater here, and I think Ms. Rideout maybe provided you an additional handout that shows some Quatchy topo. But Stuart, could you help me with this overhead? I'd like to mention that real briefly. We're certainly going to comply with the city's utilities and stormwater requirements.
While he's doing that, Richard, we need to include this sheet of paper in the minutes because it's important for the drainage. So,
yes.
Ms. Serica, do you have a copy of this?
Got one. And this is actually the contour map, topo map, that you handed out, so we'll be sure to include that in with the minutes then. Is the cable hooked up?
This at the Planning Commission meeting.
I'm sure this worked at rehearsal, Tilden. Sorry.
It did.
Okay. Yeah.
I can go up in front of the group if you need to.
You may just have to hold up the paper
and point it out.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's rather small. Can do this.
If you would look on your handout, obviously it's very small. The area directly behind this part is the detention pond. And if you look at the contour lines that go through the detention pond, they sort of curve, come to a point right about midway of Hotel A parcel. Those contours show that the water flows in two directions, or naturally flows now in two directions. Part of the water flows towards Stratford Drive, part of the water flows toward the interior of the larger 30 and a half acre parcel. With the limited topo that we have here from the city maps, we would anticipate that the stormwater discharge from the detention pond could flow into the property rather than towards Stratford Drive. I think that was the concern of the city engineering department and some of the folks that were here last time. Certainly it's our intention to discharge the stormwater in that direction, and regardless of that, we're going to comply with any city regulations and allowable discharge rates from that pond, so I really don't anticipate any problems with that. I'd be glad to address any questions. I'd be glad to go over anything from last month's meeting that some of you council members may have missed.
Is there any questions?
Just two comments. It's good to see that the green space is more than adequate, let's say. It's more than you had to have. So
yes.
That's a good thing. And just a question on off-street parking, the 25 spaces over minimum. Just curious as to why it would be 25 over minimum.
Well, I think there is, if I'm not mistaken, and Mr. Patel, you may correct me, I think there's a meeting room in Hotel B that could have some need for some additional parking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot about the meeting room. Is that the reason then, I suppose? No problem, I was just curious as to why.
There's a buffer on the Whiskey Road side where the easement is. Are you building to the property line all the rest of the way, and are there any buffers on those?
There are buffers on all property lines.
Oh, okay.
And actually, there's additional buffer in the front along Whiskey Road, so we stay outside the power easement.
Well, you've done a wonderful job, and I look forward to supporting the project.
Any other comments? And of course, we welcome any comments from the audience as well. If you have anything you'd like to say, yes, ma'am.
Zelda Rand, 204 Khaki Court, Springstone Villas. I would like to take this moment to thank the Neiman Hotel, the Patels, and the Hollies for their cooperation in trying to satisfy our previous objections. And I hope that personally, after December 10th, that we'll be able to call you neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other comments? If not, we need a motion and a second.
Have a citizen. Oh,
okay. Okay, sir.
Sure.
My name is Eric Harper. I reside at 317 Sessions Drive. That's in Stratford Hall subdivision. And I'm also I'm president of the Homeowner Association Board for Stratford Hall. And I, too, would just like to go on record of thanking Mr. Patel, his association, and the Hollies for the tremendous effort they have put forth to satisfy the differences about how this development would come about and changing the access to Stratford Drive. And all the board members look forward to the development and think it's great for our neighborhood.
Very
thank
good. Thank you, sir. It seems that this is a perfect example of working together and trying to reach an agreement that satisfies each side of an issue. And that's wonderful. And it's really good to hear this. And thank you so much. If there's anyone else that would like to speak, you may do so. If not, I'll call for a motion and a second. I'm sorry.
You know, the lady. I've been trained well.
Okay, we have two. Who was first?
I was.
Okay.
She's right.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, and then you second, Steve. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
All right, and we'll have a second reading on December 10th.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone, too, the team here in front, for working this out. It's wonderful to see that kind of working.
Thank you all
together.
Very much.
Well, you don't have to, yeah. Item two is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the concept plan and to approve a new concept plan for the shops at Richland for a proposed car wash. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, this item was on the agenda because the concept plan that was filed with council for the shops at Richland did delegate to the planning director issues of design, so long as they were within the concept plan. And council will recall when we talked about the Murphy Oil Express development that the use, that was the convenience store, but the car wash, those uses are permitted in the zoning ordinance on that particular piece of property. The question was the design, and I think Mr. Evans, until like lunchtime today, we didn't have in hand a design that you felt that you could approve administratively as council had directed. What we have up on the screen was one of the preliminary designs for the car wash, and you'll see in that top drawing there's a kind of alternating like brown and white squares. And this afternoon we received a communication, and you have a copy of that, a memorandum from Mary Dufour, who represents the she's the real estate agent in the transaction. And in actuality, these will not be alternating. Those will be brown in color. The roof will be green. And this would be the design of the car wash. And, Mr. Evans, you probably need to come up to the microphone just to put this into the record. But my understanding is, with that modification, not having the alternating colors, my understanding was that that is a design that you have administratively approved today. So really there isn't anything for council consideration because the design is compatible with the rest of the development. And as council has directed, with that approval, there isn't anything for you to consider tonight. So the developer has withdrawn the application. So there won't be an item to consider tonight. But I did want council to be aware of the process we've gone through. And Mr. Evans, if I've left out something, if you would put that in the record, that'd be helpful.
No, sir, nothing to add. I did approve that design.
Very good. Excellent.
So this item is off the agenda?
It's withdrawn. Okay. By the applicant.
One would assume, other than the color of the panels, it'll look like the one on Pine Log?
No.
No, it'll look nicer.
That's pretty nice.
I say that.
I mean, Mr. Evans can tell
you. Not that that's ugly now, but it'll be different, and it'll look more like, Ed, you explain it. It's going to look more like the building itself, is it not, the Walmart building?
It's going to have a green raised seam metal roof, which the one on Pine Log does not have.
Oh, okay.
So it'll blend in with the service station more or less? Okay. That was okay. Now, I thought there was some BZA action on this, or that was just a rumor
mill? You're exactly right, Mr. Evner. There was an administrative appeal of the planning director's decision that he could not approve the design because they had a design that was identical to East Pine Log Road. But with the subsequent submissions, I think the city attorney's been in consult with their attorney. He can tell us what the status of that appeal would be.
Okay. Part of the appeal also had to deal with whether or not the use was allowed and whether Mr. Evans had had a made a decision about the use was not allowed. I think you'll recall when the gas station came before City Council, I mentioned to City Council the concept plan that was approved by Council said all uses allowed by PC can go in that shopping center.
Right.
It gets confusing because the concept plan also has other language in there about higher end retail and, you know, things like that. Okay, but the concept plan clearly says that if the use is allowed by the PC zone, it can go in that shopping center. And so with that, I think Mr. Evans had a conversation with you shortly after the Planning Commission meeting where this was being considered. Once he remembered that conversation, he remembered the meeting with City Council. We let the developer know that the use would be approved by administratively.
I think that was important. And, you know, this is a going company that's been around. There's a number of states around here, and they run a clean operation compared to the one that's up the hill on that station. Mm. It's a rat trap up there, comparative-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Given, Mr. Mayor,
yes?
Given the comments that came from the neighbors with the gas station now reducing the number of pumps there, would there be any need to post anything to let the neighbors know that this is coming?
We have posted it. Okay. It was posted for the meeting tonight. So I don't know if there's anybody in the audience that wanted to speak to it, but I just wanted to update everyone on what the status of the project was.
Okay.
We did have one letter, I think, Leslie. It's in a packet, if I'm not mistaken, by a gentleman who spoke before on the gas station. And at least some of his comment was that it would be too noisy. And people would be hanging out at night, late at night. Well, the hours are 8 to 8, so it closes down, as I understand, at 8 o'clock. So that's not going to be a problem at all.
As long as the records state that it was posted, then that's
it was.
Sufficient.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, right. And we do have that letter for the record as well.
It is. It's in your packet, Mayor.
Absolutely.
And it was on page 158. That was from the Robersons.
Okay. Item 3. Moving on to item 3. First reading of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for Woodside Plantation and to approve a veterinarian office in an office complex. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the concept plan for Woodside Professional Suites. As you have just stated, that is zoned office. Under the permitted use tables, veterinarian offices are considered retail and not office uses. And so since a veterinarian office is proposed, that would require an amendment to the concept plan. That did go before the Planning Commission, and they voted unanimously to recommend approval for the modification of the concept plan to allow a veterinarian office. So this is first reading of an ordinance to allow the veterinarian office at the Woodside Plantation.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I shall move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Anyone?
I think we need to be clear that there's no outdoor kennels. There's not any, my understanding from being at the meeting, and there's no openings from the internal kennels to the outside, right? No chain link or anything that can hear the noise. I think that was the one concern brought up at the planning meeting.
Yeah, there's nothing on the submitted plan to show
okay.
that.
Second thing, and I don't know if we can answer it tonight, this only approves that particular building, or does that open up the whole area for a particular use?
It's actually identified in Building B, so that would be the modification to the concept plan, was to allow the veterinarian office in Building B.
Just for that building.
Yes,
the concern
that's on page
is it's a secondary use. You know, you always hear of the tattoo parlor sliding in under the door for some reason, and the vet left with the tattoo guy show up. And I guess that's always a possibility, isn't it?
My understanding is that the approval was for the veterinary office.
Office only.
Right. So if that's what it shows on the concept plan.
Okay. If it changes uses, it would have to come back.
I just wanted to double check, too, to see what the Planning Commission.
My concern is the secondary use 10 years from now or something if a business moves in that.
Yeah, the specific modification of the concept plan is to allow a veterinarian office in the office complex.
Okay.
So it's
Thank
that
you.
Specific use.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes.
Okay, any other comments? We've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Good. Item 4 is a resolution to grant a request for city utilities to a non-contiguous tract of land owned by Aiken County at Wire Road and May Royal Drive. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing the provision of water and sanitary sewer utility services to property located on the southwest corner of Wire Road and May Royal Drive. The Planning Commission reviewed this request at their meeting on November 13, and beginning at page 173 in your packet, you have their recommendation, and they recommended by a vote of 4-0 unanimously that an executed agreement on the provision of city services listing conditions of approval be recorded at the RMC office with 180 days. 2, that the city engineer approve water and sanitary sewer systems. 3, that the landscaping and tree protection provisions of the zoning ordinance be waived on the condition that all trees in the areas not to be disturbed remain as depicted on the site plan presented to the commission. And Mayor, council has that site plan as well. And that's in, on page 179. It's up on the screen right now. And let's see, I know that the assistant county administrator's here and Mr. Hildebrand's here. I don't know if you had any other remarks you want to present to council, if you could come forward at this time. So for consideration, is a resolution. We'll only have one reading on this, Mayor.
Okay. Okay.
Hey there. I'm Carrie Perkins with McMillan Pass and Smith Architecture. I'm glad to answer any questions that you have. A couple of comments I did want to make about the recommendations, just actions that we've taken since receiving these. On the water and sanitary sewer, our understanding is that the issue was that we were providing a 6-inch sewer line, and the request from the commission was that we increase that to 8 inches to, you know, to facilitate future development. So we are going to do that. We have made that change in our plans. The other thing that we requested was a waiver to the tree survey and the landscape ordinance. And truthfully, the motivation with that was simply to save the $2,000 for the tree survey on a project with a tight budget. We have continued to talk about it with the county since the Planning Commission, and if council would like us to pursue that tree survey and the landscape ordinance, then we will do that. We do believe that our plan meets the spirit of the ordinance right now, but certainly understand that that the tree survey might mean that we need to make changes to our plan, and so we're willing to do that. The other items really are pretty simple. We will comply with the signage. We also will, what's number 5 on the recommendations, we will be willing to subdivide the property. At the time of the Planning Commission meeting, we didn't quite understand that request, but I think we've gotten some clarity on that, and so we're willing to do that. And then the other stuff, the curb cut at May Royal, we are within 40 feet. The new wiring will be underground. And obviously we'll meet all of this before the opening.
These conditions are on page 171 of your agenda packet.
I did want to bring up one other thing that was in our application to the Planning Commission but was not in the responses, and that's our request to for the waiver for the city code and sprinkler ordinance, and obviously with that the city inspection. I'm glad to answer any questions about that as far as the design of the building or the building code. As far as the county's wish for that, then I would defer to Andy Merriman for that.
Okay. Carrie, I have a little bit of a problem with the tree survey not doing that. As you probably are very aware, that's part of what we ask everyone to do.
Right.
And we've had our concerns, of course, with the building, the new administration building. But I think we worked those out. I mean, we want to see that go, no doubt about it. But why, other than $2,000?
I know. I mean, and honestly, that's why we're willing to do it, because we realize that it sounds silly. This project is just on an incredibly tight budget, and it truthfully has been my challenge to save money everywhere possible. So that was a place that we thought, perhaps we can save on the survey. I, as much as anybody, want that to remain a beautiful wooded lot. I mean, that's part of the design concept. And so Tilden and I have both worked really hard to maintain that and to disturb the land as little as possible. But if it really is something that you all feel strongly about, we'll obviously
well,
do it.
You can understand very well, I'm sure, a concern about what we tell the next folks that stand right where you are standing and say, gee, we're short on money, or we want to save some money, so we'd like to waive this or that. And pretty soon after you do that, you know, it's no longer a policy of the city. You know, it's okay. All right, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Not really, but I for one, I don't know how council feels. I would like to see a tree survey. To me, over the what's the cost of the whole project?
Well, it's bidding right now, but it's probably going to be a little over $2 million.
Mm-hmm. So $2 million and
$2,000
for the very possibly, and I'm sure it would be, making it look nicer.
Right.
Like not I said, that it's not going to look nice, but I mean it would make it look nicer.
Right. I mean, it's possible that there are some grand trees that we'll need to shift some drives around or something like that. I mean, we've done a partial tree survey, so we certainly have an idea of what's out there, and we've tried very hard to, you know, to not take down grand trees in particular. But it could be that there are some trees that we'll need to adjust our site plan to save based on the tree survey, so we can do that.
Okay, well, I've said my piece. I'm not going to vote against it for that reason, but I sure would like to, personally, I would like to see that. Any
well,
comments?
Just a point of order. I mean, whoever makes the motion, the tree survey's either got to be in there or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right.
Yeah, and
but I don't know how council.
Yeah, I agree that we ought to.
That's why we're discussing it.
Yeah.
We need if we get a feeling that the council,
yeah,
no problem with
I
it.
I have the same feeling. Once you start making exceptions, even in the government world, they never go away. And there was a lot of discussion at the planning meeting about the grand trees and moving of the driveway, which was, I think, a very wise move because it takes out two or three 36-inch pines, which take a while to grow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would think that would be wise. And we can just add that to the motion and pass it still about that. I do have one technical question. That sewer line's about 1,100 feet long. Who is paying for that?
I believe, and Tilden, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that there is a closer manhole than the one that was mentioned at 1,100 square feet. I mean,
maybe
1,100
Mr.
feet.
Hildebrand
right?
can help. You know, it's what, $15, $20 a foot?
The youth detention center is right across the road over here, right across May Royal. There is a manhole at the end of the last building there that's, I think the report said it was about 1,100 feet away. It's actually, I don't have
plus
the
or minus,
profile.
The
it's
question
it's
is,
much closer than that.
I think it's like 250 feet or something, isn't it?
To address, and I think you're right, and to
okay,
address
well,
your,
here it had 1,150. You know, whose pocket is the money coming out of?
That would be installed by the county.
Okay. That's a county, yeah, that's be a county sewer there. Still goes the same place, you know.
Now, it will be owned and maintained by the city so that anyone else that comes along can tie into it. It's just a gravity sewer line.
Okay. But it'd be installed by the county and then it'd be maintained by the city. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we would inspect it.
Right,
sure
but I was I wondered whose pocket it was coming out of. That's not a cheap installation. Thank you.
That's the one that we did increase the size of that as it was requested.
Is there any other comment on this?
I would just ask Ed, on the resolution, item 3 is the condition that talks about the landscaping and tree protection provisions of the zoning ordinance be waived, and then that sentence finishes out. If they just delete that sentence, then they would be obligated to comply with the tree survey. Is that correct? If paragraph 3 is deleted? Or is it better to say that they will comply with the landscaping and tree protection provisions of the zoning ordinance?
The way the condition's worded is it requires the preservation of all trees in the area shown in green
right.
on that drawing that you have. So if you delete that wording, that condition goes away. And those trees would not have to be preserved.
But they're not, I guess what I'm hearing council discuss is they're not willing to waive the landscaping and tree protection provisions of the zoning ordinance. I
mean, you could still require the survey and keep the condition as it's worded.
So just add
what you could say is that the provisions of the zoning ordinance be complied with and that all trees in the area is not be preserved.
That's satisfactory to the applicant.
That would mean you'd have to do the tree survey and comply with the landscape ordinance, as you said.
So tree survey, comply with the landscape ordinance, and everything that we show in green, maintain as we're already planning to do.
If that wording were in there.
Well, I just a comment, and I'm sort of, I guess, thinking on the fly here, that's really a much more restrictive than the ordinance would be. The ordinance would allow removal of trees in those green spaces or the areas shown shaded in green. I think that was a concession or a compromise with the Planning Commission. If you maintain these areas, all the green undisturbed areas, there really would be no need to do a tree survey because they would remain anyway.
Do I understand you say that, Mr. Hildebrand, under Condition 3, if it read that the landscaping and tree protection provisions of zoning ordinance be complied with, period, that's what you'd be looking
for? I don't know that I want to answer that.
I'm just trying to, between you and the architect, my understanding is that you're willing to do the tree survey.
We are.
And I heard you to say that you were willing to comply with the landscape ordinance, but now that's just what I heard. So.
We are willing to do that. Now, if what Tilden's saying is the green area that we're showing there is more restrictive than the landscape ordinance, I think it's one or the other, but
right, that's why I was proposing that the language in 3 would just read that the landscaping and tree protection provisions of the zoning ordinance be complied with. That would remove the conditional.
That would remove the conditional.
I think we're after the best possible arrangement here,
and
whatever the wording is.
I don't disagree with that, certainly. Right?
So whatever that is.
Well, it's not so much after the best. We just want to make sure we don't waive the tree ordinance that set a precedent. That's the
right.
That's part of the concern. We know you're going to do your best to take care of the trees, but
and that's why Mr. Dwyer was talking about item 3 would then read that the landscaping and tree protection provisions of the zoning ordinance be complied with.
Because there is, from the discussions before, there's way more trees and land preserved here than the ordinance requires.
Yeah, it exceeds.
And we sure don't want them to comply with the ordinance and take trees out. We don't want to get the reciprocal of this going here.
No.
And you understand why I asked the question? Because if they do the tree survey, I mean, the tree survey could very well come back and telling Ed and his staff that it's perfectly okay for them to cut down half of these trees in this presently preserved area, and you may have an uglier looking site. But they were allowed to do that because they complied with our ordinance.
Well,
Ed, correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, you don't know what that really looks like without having the tree survey done.
Correct.
In other words, you can't sit in your desk and go, we need to save this tree, and this tree, without having that survey.
Correct. As I told the commission, I thought this was a good condition because you're going to end up with more than you would be if they did the survey and technically complied with the ordinance.
Right. That provides council with some motivation to waive the ordinance because you're able to look at that and know that you're getting a better deal without complying with the ordinance.
Well, can we stipulate that paragraph 3 exceeds the requirements of the tree survey and will be accepted as the equivalent?
We don't know that.
Yeah, Ed cannot represent to City Council that would be better. He can probably guess pretty well that it would be better, but he can't, represent with specificity. By not waiving the ordinance, council could put up a property that has less trees on it by going along with what we're, by going along with our ordinance.
Yeah. Is it possible to have a stipulation that we approve it tonight based on they'll come back with the recommendation? I mean,
this just receives one reading, Mr. Edner, so you could carry it over to the December 10th meeting.
Gee, I hate to do that.
I understand.
Can you do a tree survey in 2 weeks? Or can you get a tree survey done in 2 weeks?
Certainly.
But what's that going to do? I mean, they're going to do it.
Well, the motivation for them to preserve those areas is not having to spend the $2,000 on the survey.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motivation for the applicant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would certainly be willing to waive the tree ordinance as long as there's a statement in there that says it's a judgment of the council that that meets or exceeds the requirements of the tree ordinance. Because it does. I mean, from what I'm hearing, I mean, what they want to do.
I'm not sure if that's the statement Ed's prepared to make to city.
But what they want to do without the tree ordinance is better than what they could do with the tree ordinance.
The site is heavily wooded.
Yes.
And all those areas in green are going to be left totally undisturbed. I mean, that's the intent of the condition. Nothing's going to be touched. So I mean, I'd be willing to say you're going to end up with something a lot better than you would if you did a survey and then applied the ordinance.
Okay. Well, I think that's
as long good. As we make that, yeah. Just write his
word. I'll go on the record as saying Mr. S doesn't normally go out on that limb.
Well, Ed, I'm glad you spoke up your feelings there.
It sounded like that was the case.
It's written correctly now.
I agree with you. I think we ought to collect it to that. I heard the discussion before on this, and I think it's by far, you know, I would back up Mr. Evans' statement there. And I think you can reword three to write it that we discussed it and so forth and so on. You do good at wording stuff.
Well, the way it's worded now in paragraph three is the way it would stay. It says they're waiving enforcement of the tree protection and landscaping ordinance in return for leaving those areas undisturbed.
I think Councilman DeWar had an added statement for judgment of
I think he just gave you the judgment.
Okay. But I'm saying he was saying to add the statement into the minutes, I presume. Is that not correct?
Well, I mean, essentially, I would support the waiving of the tree ordinance because doing so results in more trees than
right.
than there would be if the tree ordinance were required. I mean, we both have a mutual, we want a good-looking piece of property developed, and we want to keep as many trees as we can, and it seems to me if we agree to waive the tree ordinance because the plan submitted improves upon, whatever the words are, improves upon the site, is better for the site than it would be if we insisted on a tree ordinance. And I'll justify that to a future developer if they come in. In this particular case, we're doing a far better job of preserving trees.
Yeah. We can always blame a planning director for that.
Or the city attorney.
And the city attorney.
Last question.
By doing this, would we, to your knowledge, would we be losing any grand trees that we really want to keep? Or are they in that area already?
The white versus the green?
Yeah. Or is that hard to say at this point?
That's hard to say. I do know that one of the conditions that was allowed was that this driveway be shifted a little closer to the property line to save a 36-inch oak tree that's right there. That's one that we happened to pick up on the survey. In the rest of the area, there may be one grand tree in the rest of the area where the survey was done, one or so, but I can't answer for the area cleared here. I don't know that it's significantly different than the rest of the site.
But that one by the driveway is going to be saved, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why we shifted it.
Yeah,
that is condition number six, Mayor, in the resolution.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds good to me to go with the best we can get there.
You need a motion and a second.
Okay, we need a motion and a second. Absolutely. Do we have one?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, with whatever the city attorney thinks he can handle on number three rewrite.
Did we have a second? Yeah.
I'll second.
Just for the record, I mean, to my way of thinking, paragraph three would not need to be reworded at all.
So it's okay.
It says what we wanted to say in order for them to leave those areas full of trees the way they are right now.
Sorry. Do you all have any response about the city inspections and the city code and sprinkler ordinance?
Well, you're not asking for annexation, are you?
No, not until
it's not an issue. I don't think, is it?
We're not aware of it being an issue at this point.
Yeah, we had just requested that waiver, and it wasn't on the comment.
Yeah.
So
it was an issue in the last appearance with the county because it was going to be annexed, but you're not going to be annexed, so you are free to control the project as you want.
The county would have your design approval.
Right.
I'm sorry?
The county, except as listed in this agreement, or the resolution, the county would be responsible for approving your design and issuing your CO.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Carrie, let me ask one question, though, concerning the sprinkler system. What would be basically the difference between the city and the county?
You know, there's not. That's what's interesting about it. The city sprinkler ordinance requirement is actually above what this building is. The square footage is greater than this building, and the number of stories is greater than this building. So the city actually wouldn't require us to sprinkle the building. Neither does the International Building Code. So we're not at all trying to get away with not sprinkling the building.
Yeah.
It's really a matter of streamlining the code review process and that sort of thing.
Okay. Thank you.
You have a motion, I think.
Motion.
We might.
I do.
Yep.
And a second.
Motion. Somebody seconded.
Any other discussion? A show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes.
With reservations.
It passes unanimously. With one reservation down there, too, but it passes unanimously. Okay, well, thank you, Carrie, and thanks. Thanks a lot. Okay. Mr. City Manager, do you have any discussion items?
We just have a few items for to report to council that we're working on. The first item is the intelligent city concept. That goes to the monitoring equipment for our green infrastructure project that's outside the front door. We've had a meeting, and Mayor, you attended with me, the Chancellor of USC Aiken, with the President of Aiken Technical College. We had the Economic Development Partnership there. President of the Chamber was there. And the whole monitoring system has other applications, and there'll be a proposal to go forward to model, potentially, models the city of Aiken as an intelligent city to monitor not just storm water flow but entire city operations. We anticipate a visit sometime after the first of the year by the president of Clemson University, the Chamber, the Economic Development Partnership. The two academic campuses are very much on board with presenting this to Clemson. There would be grant money available to fund it. There wouldn't be money from the city required. Of course, we do have the future phases of the green infrastructure project that citizens have already approved funds for. We have a potential in-kind donation, which would be meeting space when we redevelop the first floor of City Hall. So this is just by way of information only. As we get more details, of course, we'll keep council informed, and there should be an opportunity for the council members to meet with the Clemson president as well as to hear from Gene Eitzen about this intelligent city concept. It's potentially something that could be significant in the application for other cities across the country, really internationally, Mayor, as you heard. So we'll have more information on that. Regarding our road projects, the comment period for the widening of the Hitchcock Parkway closed on November 23rd. We expect to hear back from DOT next month. They're going to take all the comments they've received and put that in a digestible form for us to take a look at, and we'll no doubt have to have some follow-up meetings about the proposed scope of the project. So we are working on that. And then the last item is our new administration and finance building at 135 Lawrence Street Southwest. We're working through the punch list items, and I would like to invite the members of council to a drop-in on Thursday, December 13 at 6 p.m., and we'll be able to show you the building and at least be partially moved in at that time. And we'll have some food and drink for council and an opportunity to see the project in full. We're very excited about it. We think that Joe Walker and his group has done a good job for us, and it's a building that council could take a lot of pride in because it wasn't torn down. It was redeveloped in a very usable way, we think.
Absolutely. Very nice.
One question on the road, or extension, further discussion on road projects. Mm-hmm. How about our famous Daugherty Road to the mall? Is that broken loose yet on the land procurement?
It is not.
Is it in the estate stage yet, or do we know what?
I'm not aware of it being in the estate stage, but I am meeting with our department directors all day Friday. We're talking about that project and others at that time.
Because that was a land procurement issue, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, and still is, really.
Yeah, right.
Now, we are going forward, just so council knows, with identifying an engineering outfit to go with the two infrastructure bank projects. That was the additional right-hand turn lane on Doherty at Whiskey and the widening of University Parkway. That was between Richland and Robert M. Bell Parkway. Well, actually, Trolley Line Road.
Trolley Line, yeah.
Trolley Line.
Okay, we need...
I just have one,
oh, sure,
one
sure.
item.
Sure.
I was pleased to represent the mayor at the Warrior Summit in Augusta on a panel with mayors De Copenhaver and North Augusta, talking about returning veterans as the Wounded Warrior program, which has been established, is now sort of dividing itself on one side of the river and the other. There is a young man who's been identified as being responsible for Aiken. I've invited him to a future council meeting. With notice, obviously, so we can have it on the agenda so he can brief us on what his plans are. They've done a marvelous job, apparently, over in the Augusta area at finding homes for the returning veterans. I think they're down to like the last one or two. So it's an extraordinary effort that's required. These young men and women have given a lot. Some have come back pretty disabled, but they've got a good discipline that they learned in the military that can certainly be a benefit to companies. So whether there's anything as a city we should do specifically, I can't say at this point, but we at least ought to listen to what they have to say, and if there's anything we can do for them, I think we should.
Yeah, and Mr. Duarte, if they just contact me, you know, we've got a meeting December 10th and meetings in January, we could certainly set that up.
Well, Augusta did let the cat out of the bag in one case, and that is that somehow they've lined up with the provost marshal at Fort Gordon, and as those young men, young MPs get out of the military, they're certainly making a pitch for them, and I'm not so sure that maybe our chief can go over and have a chief conference and let them know that any people coming out that want to apply to public safety in Aiken is certainly welcome to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can certainly look into that.
Dick Richard and I met this young man. Matter of fact, we sat at the table with him at Rotary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, good.
One meeting.
All right,
and
good.
He's so enthusiastic.
Yes.
Very
if
much
I
so.
Recall correctly, they have placed every service person in need that's for a home in a home.
Yes.
I mean, he says it's just fantastic the way they've been able to do that.
Yeah. And Jim Lorraine, who's an Aiken resident, is heading up that program for both sides of the river, so he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
So I just want to give that report. Oftentimes we go to these meetings and
that's right.
And, you know, it's we don't get the opportunity to let the rest of the council know how it went. It was a very good event.
Thank you for stepping in for me, Dick. Appreciate it. If there are no other comments here, we need to go into executive session, if council agrees, to talk about a potential economic development contractual agreement.
And I'll move to executive session.
Okay. So we have a second. Okay. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously.
Richard, can I see you just a minute?
Executive session, and we need a motion and a second to go out of.
I move that we session. Come out of the executive session.
Second.
Well, we have a motion and a second at this point, and we were in there to discuss a potential economic development contract agreement, and that's what we did. And now we're ready to adjourn.
Do we vote to come out?
Huh?
Do we vote to come out?
No.
Oh.
I just adjourn us by this.
Oh.
We need to vote first before we adjourn.
No? You want
to? We want you to have a vote to come out.
Do you want to start that, Steve? Do you want to stay longer sometimes? Is that why you want to vote?
No.